This is 7-5 Radio with Walter Yerkew and Peter Scoop Stanton. This is the radio show that will break your neck if your neck needs breaking. And here are the hosts of 7-5 Radio, Walter Yerkew, star of the biggest documentary movie ever made, The 7-5, and Peter Scoop Stanton, who starred in To Catch a Predator.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, one and all. This is Peter Scoop Stanton with Walter Yerkew and Mike Reichbrandt on 7-5 Radio. Check us out, 75radio.org, the number 75radio.org. This first segment is sponsored by Ruttenberg Dickinson Law Practice. I had the pleasure of meeting Dan Ruttenberg on Thursday. He had a charity poker tournament buy-in. I did not. I was too busy having fun to play, but I did donate some money to PokerPlayersWhoCare.org. That's PokerPlayersWhoCare.org. He's having a poker tournament in February. Check us out. It's only a $250 buy-in. But anyways, thank you very much, Dan. Anyways, how are we doing tonight, Walter? How are we doing tonight, Walter?
Yo, Walter. Okay. Yo, Walter is doing just fine.
Great. Mike, how are we doing tonight?
I'm doing great. Thanks, Pete.
Outstanding. Also, we want to say hello to all of our special listeners, including Little Billy Keebler and the men and alleged woman of the Yon and Dustin's New York Fire Department, New York's finest, New York's bravest, New York's boldest, all of our listeners on Long Island, especially in the 2nd Congressional District. First order of business, as always, we want to remember the men and women of law enforcement who are murdered in line of duty. Tonight, we remember Police Officer Jacob Candoza of the Terrell, Texas Police Department, end of watch, December the 8th, 2024. His killer is in custody. Anyways, our first segment, we have a guest. His name is Matt Clark. He is the author of the book, The Founding Fathers, What Did They Really Say? Evidence that the U.S. was founded on God and Christian principles. How are we doing tonight, Matt?
I'm doing great. How are you folks doing?
We're doing awesome. Anyways, Matt, what's this book all about? I saw the title. I started reading through. What's the book about?
Well, this book is about literally what the title says. It's a book filled with the story and the documents about the founding principles of this country, as written and stated by the founding fathers. Have numerous documents in this book that outline their intention for this nation, which is that it is a nation where everyone is free to practice their beliefs as they choose to, but this nation is also a nation founded under God, and they were going to absolutely make sure that God was remembered every day, every month, every year, through various actions such as proclamations that they issued and were ratified by Congress. They included in God in the schools as well.
They put God in the schools?
Oh, yes. Yeah, absolutely. The early American schools, they taught basically the golden rule. They had a little bit of a time in classrooms every day where it was basically just a lesson in citizenship, because they were basically just teaching the golden rule, where you're honest and you're good to your neighbor and to each other, and you're fair. And just those basic principles of honesty and decency. It wasn't any sort of a lecture or education on any particular religious belief according to any denomination, but it was just to be good to your neighbor, to love them, to not cheat them, not harm them, and so forth.
Wow, imagine that. What were some of the documents you founded to compile this book? Because this is a very large book.
Yeah, well, there's numerous documents. I started out with the book. Actually, I kind of did it in a bit of an unorthodox way, whereas instead of having chapters, I broke it up into 10 parts. And the first part of the book is basically our founding documents, and I include in there as well the early drafts that weren't used, just to show the natural the flow of everything and how they tweaked everything, and you know, and they have debates and discussions about what should be included and what shouldn't. So that's in the first part of it. And then I go into not only the actual government documents that they wrote, issued, and signed, but I go into some of their personal writings between each other and other men of that time. Some of them were more directly involved with the founding of the country. Some of them were more on the fringes, or maybe didn't play really any kind of direct role in the government creation side of it. But I went into those documents in order to prove that not only was that practiced in their lives, but they transferred what they believed in their personal lives and their personal faith. They transferred that into the documents that are part of the founding of this country. I have numerous proclamations going back to even during the American Revolution, proclamations that, again, were ratified by the Continental Congress that asked the men to, on a particular day, to gather together and to pray to God and to ask for his assistance, his help in winning this, what they called a terrible, terrible war. It's not a war that they wanted to fight, but they asked for it to be resolved and quickly done so. And they also asked for God to supply them with the means that they needed to carry out their war for their freedom from England. So starting there, and again, going with the founding documents, going all the way forward, I basically just covered up mainly through James Madison on the proclamations. I did add a few off and on in the following years after Madison was out of office. But those proclamations for a day of Thanksgiving, for a day of prayer, fasting, so forth, were days that were they asked that everyone not work that day and that they gather with others of like mind in their town or their village, wherever they lived, to come together and to pray for God's forgiveness on the country for any of the misdeeds, missteps that they make, and for him to enlighten them in a way that they could understand better how to build this country into a reflection of what they believed it needed to be, which was based on these principles, Christian principles of, you know, wherever you have, you know, free will, but yet we're a nation that has not forgotten you. We are a nation that remembers that you, it's because of you, we have this wonderful, great nation now. We have this wealth and this prosperity that's coming our way. We have our freedom to live as we choose. We don't have a monarch dictating to us what we should think and what we shouldn't think, what we can do for, you know, our personal life is in a career, a job. All these different things, because, you know, in a lot of European countries at that time, you kind of went into whatever field that your family had been in for generations. There weren't really any, you know, dirt farmers who were going into the house, into the parliament. You know, you had to be born into that. Well, that was a whole part of this whole thing about you have the freedom to be who you are, and the government cannot restrain you from achieving the highest heights that you can reach. So that's what this is all about. It's quite intricate. There's a lot of documentation that has to be sifted through here. And it's, I've kind of just likened it to, you know, like if I were a defense attorney and I'm defending the founding fathers in this manner, in how they put this country together and what their intentions were. You have to go through all of the evidence, some of it you have to piece together. You have to collect it from different places, and you piece it all together to build their defense. And that's basically what this book is about. It's a defense of those principles and to prove that that is what their intentions were. They did not intend for God to be kept out of this country.
Wow. All right, when we return, we'll have some questions for Mr. Clark. He is the author of The Founding Fathers. What did they really say? Anyways, coming up, we got Drones, Daniel Penny, Mario's Evil Brother, and Man of the Year. Stay tuned, everybody. This is 75 Radio.
Have you ever had great honey? No, I mean really good, all-natural, raw honey. Well, now you can, thanks to localhoneyman.com. We can ship out our locally made honey all across the U.S. So don't worry, you won't miss out. Plus, Local Honeyman has so many different flavors, like Utah Wildflower, High Desert Delight, Happy Valley, and Blackberry, just to name a few. So purchase your delicious raw honey today at localhoneyman.com.
Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character, where educating both hearts and minds brings about academic excellence. There is a school in American Fork where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. Based on LDS principles and a love of country, now in our 39th year, American Heritage School is accepting fall enrollment for kindergarten through high school. What would you do for your child? Give them an education that will prepare them for life. Located east of the Temple in American Fork, American Heritage School is a remarkable and affordable alternative. Visit us, find us online, or in the Yellow Pages, American Heritage School in American Fork.
Do you treasure your liberty? Well, at LovingLiberty.net, we most certainly do. And we want to help protect your liberty, too. Become part of the family. Everyone knows that the core of any society is the family. Therefore, the government should foster and protect the integrity of its family, we the people. Won't you join us as a Loving Liberty sponsor to help us promote the principles in the 5,000-year leap? Let's restore the miracle that changed the world at LovingLiberty.net.
You're back, and Scoop is just getting done staring at Danila's Instagram account. Here's more 75 Radio.
Hey, we are back. Scoop Stant with Walter Yerku and Mike Rickbrand. On the line, we have Matt Clark, the author of The Founding Fathers, What Did They Really Say? Matt, I went through this book, and I mean, it is very, very lengthy with a whole bunch of different sources, including the Constitution. That was the first time I've read the entire Constitution straight through. Where did you get all this? Where did you do this research? Where did y'all get this information from?
The main sources were the National Archives. Online, you can gain access to a lot of these. There's another website called the Presidency Project. You can get these proclamations that I found for thanks for prayer to God on for thanks day of Thanksgiving. And I also used Yale University's the Avalon Project. They have an enormous cache of different documents, not just pertaining to the United States directly, but they have all documents going way back in centuries prior to the founding of this nation. So I was able, it took me a little while to find some of this stuff, but there's plenty of primary sources out there to find all this information.
Wow. But all right. Walt, you got any questions for Mr. Clark on his book about the founding fathers?
It might be a question or two that is in my commentary. Based on the based on the Christian principles in the 1700s, late 1600s in England, because we know that everybody came, most people came over from Western Europe, you know, to the shores of what we now know as the United States. As they progressed in the 16th and 17th, early 1700s, they brought with them a few things. Not only their, you know, seeking more freedom with their Christian principles, they wanted to put it in their own terms. Like you mentioned that, you know, the monarchy, very hard to live under is a monarchy. we kind of know that from Joe Biden and Kamala Harris, but that's besides the point. For the past 250 years since our country was born, it's grown to such an enormous, enormous place that the forefathers, I don't think they ever dreamed that it would be this big and this many people. You know, 350 million people, you know, and counting.
Sure, no.
The principles, I'd have to say, as a Catholic, the principles are basically the same. I think everybody knows the basics of Christian principles. You know, what it comes down to is right and wrong. And the choices that hundreds of millions of people over the last two centuries, the change is apparent that with our country, for lack of a better term, a megalopolis, where there are so many different insights to Christian values and principles, because there's such a big diversity of cultures in our country, where I think a lot of beyond the basics is lost because people practice different things and we don't really understand. Now, if you don't go to church every week, which I don't, or worship, in a place of your choice, a lot of people do not, it doesn't register with them the basic principles that our forefathers, what you wrote about, with their efforts to put into the Constitution and the Bill of Rights. And I believe, yes, there should be God in our Constitution, God in our Bill of Rights, God in our schools, in our courthouses, and in our homes, most of all. Because if you don't have it in your home, you're not always going to get it outside the home. I finally started practicing what I'm preaching right now, not to the point where I carry a Bible with me, but I'm versed in the Bible, I'm versed in the Constitution, and you can see the relation between the two writings. And I believe that the forefathers took a lot of what's in the Bible and put it in our Constitution. They included so many things. Diversities in the 1700s were very much less than it is now. So people are trying to, some people try to break it down to suit their own needs, is what I'm trying to say. They justify what they do based on what's going on now, not what it was meant to be by the forefathers in the 1770s. And you lose a lot of communication between people who just see it different. I mean, you know, these guys can tell you, Matt, that I'm big on civil rights, and I'm big now but for the past 35 years or so, on the right and wrong, on how to do things. And you need to be accountable for what you do, whether you do it right or wrong. And when you're caught doing things wrong, everybody falls back onto God. When you do it right, people praise God for giving them the knowledge and the spirit to push forward, to stand your ground. In other words, if I want to stand up in at a baseball game and sing the national anthem, well, damn, I'm going to do it. And how many times over the past 10, 15 years where they don't play the national anthem at places like that? And then people all of a sudden, they start singing it on their own and make the stadium wait for them to finish. So, you know, there are all the principles out there. Basics are out there. But I would have to find more. There needs to be more of an I don't want to say intense. It needs to be more available instead of knocked down all the time. You know, they took the commandments out of the courthouses and the school. They don't, you know, stand up and say the pledge. You know, I went to Catholic school for 3 years, first, second, and third grade. And every morning, you know, we said a prayer. Every afternoon before school ended, we said a prayer. And that's just in, you know, Catholic schools, parochial schools, for lack of a better term. But it's not done anywhere else. There should be given a time where you can be silent for 2 minutes and pray to your God, pray to the person you believe in, the higher authority that you believe in, instead of just knocking it out because it's going to offend, you know, knocking out, you know, Christian prayer because it's going to offend a Muslim, or it's going to offend a Jew, or it's going to offend a Protestant. So that's what I believe we could get back to as what was meant by our forefathers.
Sure. No, absolutely. I agree with you.
I hope I was clear a little bit on what I was saying. But yeah, I guess I don't have a question. I just wanted to make those remarks in a commentary.
No, that's fine. I agree. I do agree with you. And that is what this book is about. It is about that. And I agree with you. In the schools, whatever your faith may be, you should be allowed to freely practice that, and not one over the other. But again, the issue with that comes up is that then you start having people who think that they're being minimized. I hate to use the word turn into a minority. I hate that expression, minority. I think that is so demeaning on anyone to call them a minority. But you know, but I think that the fact of the matter is that this country was founded upon God and that Christian principle of free will. And the fact that the founders placed God in our schools from the beginning and no one else, to me that tells me that they approved of something like the Ten Commandments being posted in a school, because that is what our nation is founded on. So we're having a big debate. It's becoming a big debate, I think, in a lot of states. I live in Missouri, and of course I'm next door to Oklahoma. Oklahoma has got their whole debate about what the governor's wanting to do there. Missouri, they're wanting to, I don't know if they're going to make it an actual law. I don't think they've really even decided yet, but they're wanting to pass something where schools can post the Ten Commandments. Mm-hmm. And on social media today, I've been getting hammered by people who absolutely disagree with that. But here's the thing, that the reason that they disagree is because they want God out of the country. There's not really, they use this fear of, well, you're going to push out other beliefs out of the schools and out of the society, and that is not at all what's being done or would be done. But these are people who are flat out atheists, and they don't want God in this country, and they don't want him in the schools. They don't want anything that has to do with that.
All right, Matt, that's unfortunate. That's all the time we got. Stay tuned, everybody. We'll be right back.
Proclaiming liberty across the land. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
contracts and...
Life takes a toll on our bodies. No way around it. Whether it's sitting hours on end at your computer or working a physical job, over time your body pays the price. There is, however, an effective way to turn back the clock on pain, Relief Factor. Developed by doctors, Relief Factor helps support your body's response to inflammation. The difference? Instead of masking pain, Relief Factor helps eliminate it for good. And it's 100% drug-free. If the pains that come with living a full life are affecting you, do as so many others have. Turn back the clock on pain with Relief Factor. Their three-week quick start is just $19.95, less than a dollar a day. When you feel good, it's amazing how much more you get out of life. So visit ReliefFactor.com or call 1-800-4-RELIEF. That's 1-800-4-RELIEF. Try it for only $19.95. While we can't stop aging, not yet, we can stop pain. Turn back the clock with Relief Factor.
Senator Tom Cotton of Arkansas lays out a host of complaints about China's influence in the U.S. in a new book called Seven Things You Can't Say About China.
China runs massive espionage networks that has infiltrated not just the federal government, but state and local government as well, and corporate America and our academic universities. And it is high time that we cut it off.
Cotton spoke this week with the Salem Radio Network. Some African Americans are among those taking advantage of a new law in Benin that grants citizenship to those who can trace their lineage to the slave trade. It's part of efforts by the West African nation to face up to the role it played. The coastal town of Ouidah was one of Africa's most active slave trading ports, and at the Tree of Forgetfulness, enslaved people were said to be symbolically forced to forget their past lives. News and analysis at townhall.com. A lockdown alert was sent out today via social media at a military base in Georgia.
One person killed after a shooting at Fort Eisenhower, the Army installation near Augusta, Georgia. The incident happening in housing on the military base. The shooter under arrest, and the base says it appears to be an isolated incident. Fort Eisenhower was locked down for about an hour. It is home to the U.S. Army Cyber Command. Laura Winters, Atlanta.
U.S. Marines have begun a partial transfer from Okinawa to Guam 12 years after Japan and the U.S. agreed on their realignment to reduce the heavy burden of American troops on the southern Japanese island. The relocation began Saturday with 100 members of the 3rd Marine Expeditionary Force stationed on Okinawa moving to the Pacific Island. The U.S. Marine Corps and Japan's Defense Ministry made the statement today. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Mr. President,
Senator from Kentucky.
Reserving the right to object, I lived for 4 months in Asheville, worked at the VA hospital, still have fond feelings for Western North Carolina. But the thing is the reason why we won't do this in a responsible way is because the Senate voted to send all your money to Ukraine. I mean, they voted to send $200 billion to Ukraine. I've been all over the mountains of Appalachia when I ask people, would you rather that your senators take care of you here in Asheville or here in Pikeville, here in Appalachia, or would you rather them send your money to Ukraine? I don't get anybody wanting to send a penny to Ukraine. Look, you can have all kinds of sympathy in the world for Ukraine, hostility towards Russia being the aggressor nation, but we don't have the money. We're $2 trillion in the hole. Interest this year is going to be $1 trillion. And as far as passing this, I'm willing to let it pass today. He's going to object to passing his own bill today simply because it gets paid for. I'm willing to let the bill pass, but take some of the fluff and boondoggle subsidies from the Green New Deal and put it into here. The money's sitting here. We put it into here for disasters. We help Asheville today.
As you are aware, America is divided over every fault line possible. This is intentionally fostered by those who do not love God, family, or country. We believe a peaceful future as a free people absolutely depends on civility. Clarion Call for Civility is looking for funding and volunteers at every level to make our hopes and efforts a reality. Please donate, sign our pledge, and help us in our sacred cause. Please visit callforcivility.com for more details. callforcivility.com.
Bypass the mainstream narrative with Liberty News Radio at libertynewsradio.com. Engage with charismatic hosts live or on demand. We cover the crucial news focused on God, family, and country. News that other networks simply refuse to use. Think of LNR's hard-hitting news and podcasts at your fingertips anytime, anywhere. Join us at libertynewsradio.com. Empower your day with the truth, because the truth will set you free. libertynewsradio.com.
Wow, you're still listening? Here's more 7-5 Radio.
And we are back. Scoop Stant with Walter Yerkew and Mike Reichbrandt. That guest was Matt Clark. That's M-A-T Clark. And the name of the book is The Founding Fathers. What did they really say? Anyways, this portion of 7-5 Radio is sponsored by Mammoth Nation. Check out Mammoth Nation through the 7-5 Radio website at 75radio.org. Click on Mammoth Nation. Anyways, this country is being invaded since November by drones. And, of course, the government's doing a bang-up job of covering it up, saying there's nothing to see here. Move along now. Anyways, I'm going to turn it over to Mike, who I put on drone duty to report what his findings of these unmanned aerial aircraft harassing the citizens of these United States. Mike, take it away, sir.
Hey, Pete, thank you. And so the drones, right? We've been seeing all the social media buzz about these things, flying over Jersey, flying over the Capitol now, flying over even New York, Long Island, basically everywhere. Langley, Virginia, where Central Intelligence Headquarters is. There's a few things going on with these. One is a lot of misidentifications, people seeing what they think is a drone, which isn't really a drone. In the Bronx, for instance, we had a NYPD chopper that was up doing a perp search in the Bronx, and people were posting on social media, it's a drone, shoot it down. Don't start shooting at things in the sky that you don't know what they are. Not a good idea. So that's part of his misidentification. But the actual drones being seen, there's actually some really good high-definition video and still images of some of these things. And what appears to be riding on the side of one that was filmed over Jersey. You know, the government definitely knows what these things are. They know who sent them. They're not, you know, UFOs. These are unmanned aerial vehicles. There's something in a military space called IPB, which is like intelligence preparing the battle space. So basically you'd want to film and survey the battle space before you ever decide to perform an operation. So you'd have that much better intelligence to know what you're up against. That, to me, would be the most likely answer for this. So, you know, China being the most likely culprit. I know Iran was mentioned, but I don't know that Iran has the kind of capabilities drones are showing. That would be more, to me, like a Chinese thing. I mean, it's possible they're working with the Chinese to do this, but I would lean more towards China for this whole thing. That said, I think some of these are actually our own drones, probably checking out what the other drones are. And then there's actually some videos that show what appear to be these, like, large balls of energy. Lack of a better word, looks like big balls of lightning almost. Those are being seen. Those are, you know, who knows what those are? I have no idea, to be honest with you. But the majority of these things are military drones. They're very much military tech. They're our tech, same stuff that we use. So China being the most likely culprit, don't shoot at the damn things. Let the military do it. The government's silence on this and their failing in this, to me, is reminiscent of like the whole balloon thing. Everybody forgot about the balloons a week after it was done. But this is just like the balloon thing. You know, they let it spy on us for how long before they finally shut it down? And Biden's doing the same thing now. It's probably what he's paid to do. If I'm being honest, that's what it is. I think he's being paid to allow this to happen, and just they're getting in everything they can before he's out of office. So I think in a month we'll know exactly what these things are and who sent them.
Right. Walt, what say you about the drones flying over the east and now west coast of the U.S.?
You know, I'm like everybody else. You know, I'm going to talk about it too. I know if they were down here in Tennessee, we'd have the hillbillies shooting at them. But who knows? You know, if our militaries are being held back to, you know, not follow them, track them. Then, you know, of course it's coming from the White House. So who knows? Like Mike said, you know, when they go away and, you know, we'll find out in a month, but most likely after inauguration day. So that's when we'll find out, because nobody knows where Creepy Joe is, other than they get, you know, messages that he's pardoned. You know, commuted 15,000 people and pardoned 100. So nobody knows where he is. So. Or Kamala's certainly not making phone calls to the New Jersey governor, like she said she was making phone calls to DeSantis, you know, during the hurricane. So, you know, She's done. She don't give a rat's butt. Otherwise, she'd be somewhere shooting the mouth off.
Right.
She don't care.
Right. Right. I know they don't care. Joe's counting his money, or he's running around soiling his depends. And Kamala's probably into another box of wine like our own James Edwards. Anyways, Mike, real quick, I saw a news report from New York or Philadelphia. Ocean County reported that these drones were coming from the sea. Do we have any verifications that these drones were coming from the sea? And do we have anybody checking out ships that's in the Atlantic Ocean?
Yeah, so there's an Iranian drone carrier. It's actually a type of ship. It's like almost like an aircraft carrier, but it's for drones. That mm-hmm. disappeared from an Iranian port. We didn't. Apparently, our intelligence community dropped the ball and didn't track this thing. You didn't know where it was. It was relocated a couple of weeks later in the Atlantic somewhere, but they didn't specify exactly where it was. And a lot of the footage and a lot of the video and a lot of the eyewitness reports are putting this, including from law enforcement, are putting this as these things as coming from out to sea and onto land to then fly around. Which, you know, it would fit. It would make sense. But again, if this is Iran, you know, doing this with these drones, you know, it's preparing the battle space. So I would still say that if it's Iran doing it, then China's pulling the strings and China's supplying them with the kind of drones that are doing these kinds of things. These drones are showing capabilities that Iran just doesn't have. You know, the Chinese probably have this kind of tech that we have, like, you know, the ability to jam, you know, signals and to be, you know, counter jam a signal before being intercepted, things like that. That's not something that the Iranians are necessarily going to have. China probably does. So, like I said, everything I see makes me think lean towards China. Is Iran maybe the proxy being used by China to do it? Possibly. It would make sense based upon where their supposed drone carrier is. But there's nothing confirmed yet. And the intelligence community is obviously being less than forthcoming about it.
Of course. All right. But anyways, we'll go from drones outside the city of New York back to the city of New York. Real quick, Daniel Penny was found not guilty. And last week we told you why he shouldn't even be charged, number one. And, of course, everybody's up in arms about that. But fortunately for Penny, he got an invite from a fellow Marine, Vice President J.D. Vance, to attend today's Army-Navy football game. And we're not going to go over the facts real quick, but what gets me is that Daniel Penny vilified. The guy that he subdued that's wrestled 42 times, high as a kite, just causing commotion, he's martyred. And then let's look at Luigi Mangione. It's like the left is making they're making Brian Thompson, the CEO of United Healthcare, the enemy, and his alleged killer Luigi Mangione as a hero. Well, what say you about this sympathy for the devil scenario again?
Well, you know, I think it's just, you know, horrible and disgusting that anybody would condone the murder of this man. Any man. And in this regard, because, you know, the healthcare system is all, you know, as the Fonz used to put it, nutsy cuckoo. People are just saying that this was a good idea. This might, you know, turn some heads and wake up the rest of the CEOs in healthcare, the executives, and do something about dropping, you know, prices or approving more claims and such. Yeah, that's just stupid. It's a Neanderthal way to think, and it's a criminal way to think. And will there be copycats? God, I hope not. I hope not. And I don't approve of anybody. And you had Pocahontas the other day talking about this thing where, well, you push people so far, you know, things are going to happen. You know, listen. And then you have Daniel Penny, where this guy pushed people so far and Daniel Penny took action. And they want to string this guy up by the short hands. God bless him for stepping in. God bless him for taking care of those other people, those women. And this BLM bimbo and her dog's face husband, I think he calls himself Hawk. You know, they just need to go back to their mansion or wherever the hell they came from. Saying that, you know, America's racist, F America, you know, F the court system. Listen, you watch the video, there's a black man on the guy's chest trying to hold his arms down too. So, you know, it's just, he did the right thing. And Luigi did the wrong thing.
Right. But anyways, we come back. We got Person of the Year, Caitlin Clark, and a whole bunch of other stuff. Stay tuned, everybody. This is 75 Radio on the Liberty News Radio Network.
Introducing Managed IT Services from NPI. We offer top-notch data backup and recovery, email spam protection, and network security tailored to your needs and budget. With 20-plus years of experience in the medical field, our HIPAA-certified consultants know what it takes to protect sensitive information. Don't settle for less. Give us a call at 801-706-6980 and experience the difference with Managed IT Services. Remember, your IT support should be fast, efficient, and reliable.
Attention collectors and savvy investors. We are excited to announce a momentous evolution in our journey. Introducing Freewater Coin Company, formerly known as Rust Coin and Gift. This rebranding takes us back to the very roots of where it all began, Freewater, Oregon. It's a tribute to the legacy of Al Rust and a celebration of three generations of dedication and excellence in the world of coins and precious gifts. Al, Brian, and Jake Rust, standing strong through 64 years of service. Discover a world of exceptional service at Freewater Coin Company, your premier destination for genuine, honest money and precious gifts. Under Brian's expert guidance, Freewater Coin Company, building on the legacy of Rust Coin and Gift, continues its tradition of trust and excellence. Visit us at our Provo, Utah location. Explore our treasures online at rustgoldandsilver.com or call us at 801-377-1574. Freewater Coin Company, where your future is built one honest coin at a time.
Introducing PrepStartsNow.com, your ultimate guide to readiness and peace of mind. We offer practical preparedness tools, training, and education to take your family's household readiness to the next level. Browse the prep shop for essential products, check out our planning guides, and stay informed with our prep blog. Visit PrepStartsNow.com and subscribe to our emails for exclusive offers, new products, and future events. Remember, preparedness begins with PrepStartsNow.com.
This is 75 Radio with Walter Yuku. I mean, Walter Yurkow. I mean, Walter Kiwi. Here's Walton Scoop.
And we are back. Scoop staying with Walter Yurkow and Mike Rickbrandt. As usual, during those commercials, I was doing my due diligence and looking at the Instagram account of our spokesmodel, Danella Rodriguez, and I picked out this week's archives photo for our podcast and YouTube. Anyways, check her out at Danella.insta. God damn it. Danella.fitnessmodel on Instagram. Anyways, Person of the Year came out. It was none other than 75 Radio spokesman, Danella Rodriguez. I'm just kidding. It should be Danella for putting up for me for all this year. But anyways, just want to say happy belated birthday to our spokesmodel and our dear friend, Danella Rodriguez. Just an amazing, beautiful woman. Hell of a spokesmodel, hell of a friend. Helped me out time and time again to dress myself for once instead of wearing a potato sack. Also, she has a calendar for 2025. If you go on the website, you see the link for her calendar. And, of course, me being me, I asked her, hey, can I get a calendar? She said, go buy one. I said, can I borrow some money to buy the calendar? And she said, do something I cannot do to myself. Anyways, but happy birthday to the wonderful First Lady Radio, Danella Rodriguez. Check out her calendar, buy her calendar, and, you know, check her out on Instagram. Mike, real quick, what's to you about our spokesmodel, her calendar, and her birthday?
Happy birthday, Janella. The calendar looks great. Everybody should go out and grab one. She's awesome. She's an awesome lady, so I'm excited to see her keep on succeeding and kicking butt. And, you know, it's a shame that she has you stalking her, but, you know, I'm sure she's strong enough she can handle it, you know?
Yeah, I'm stalking her. Why? Because I'm hitting up for money to buy her calendar?
Well, you know, you're not a successful stalker, but you are a stalker, so...
I'm a lazy stalker. I just look at her Instagram account, social media. Anyways,
how fitting is that? You try and borrow money to buy her calendar.
Well, this is 7-5 Radio. Anyways, well, what's to you about a birthday girl and her lovely calendar?
Yeah. Happy birthday to Danella, and congratulations on her calendar. And I'm just wondering, Scoop, when your calendar is going to come out.
Well, I tried that, but no publisher said they want to waste ink and paper on that, and it's just too wrong about for that.
Yeah.
But
well, like I told you, you know, do calendar like the New York Fire Department did years ago. I don't know if they still do it or not, but if they do, I'm sure you got one on the wall. But I think you should probably try to get a calendar of your own, you know, and follow suit with the firemen, you know. Well, and if that doesn't work, you know, like I said, get call up Lady Gaga and get, you know, some of her outfits to wear.
yeah, that'd be a hot seller. Up there with the FDNY calendar and calendar with cats. Anyways, why do we go from, you know, we talk about the lovely Danella Rodriguez, her calendar, her birthday, all she's done for 7-5 Radio, and then you make fun of me. But anyways, I think you gentlemen are just jealous. But anyways, yeah. On that note, hey, Walt, can I borrow some money? I need to buy a calendar.
Well, you shouldn't have invested in all your money into your calendar. Well, stand on the street corner and sell them. They'll probably sell better than Kamala T-shirts.
Right. All right. I'll give that a try because I got about 10,000 of these things. But anyways, but real tip. Time Magazine's Man of the Year, or refused to be politically correct and call it Person of the Year, is none other than Donald Trump. Of course, he should get it. He's been convicted. He's been sued civilly. Lost. He's been arrested. He's been fingerprinted. He's been mugshot. He's been two assassination attempts on his life, and the media just dragged his name through the mud, and he comes out victorious. So no other reason for him not to receive it other than being beat up by 7-5 Radio spokesman Danella Rodriguez, who has a calendar. But anyways, Mike, what say you about Time Magazine's Person of the Year?
Well, first we saw the greatest political comeback in history, right? He came from all those indictments and nonsense trials to winning the race. And now magazines, organizations like Time, making him the Man of the Year, others coming out, very, very left-leaning outlets coming out now and putting him somehow in the, at the forefront again is it's pretty telling. I think people woke up to the BS from the other side and they realized how corrupt things are and that he really is the one person needed to fix all that.
Right. And funny you should mention that because I was listening to the Political Cesspool earlier, and a whole bunch of people on the far, far right are coming, being brought into the mainstream, which is a clue that things are turning around. Let's hopefully it does turn around fully. Well, what say you about Donald Trump being the Man of the Year?
Well, congratulations to him. He's the third most photographed president for the cover of Time Magazine. In Time Magazine's history. And, it seems like there's no stopping, the MAGA way. He's got fans all around the world now. I like the idea that he takes it with a grain of salt. He makes a little quip, like a little joke. He's more personable, than people give him credit for. And I think he's going to do very well. He'll do very well with when he does State of the Nation addresses. And when he gets in, it's only going to get better.
Right. He's already making a difference already. He's not even in office yet. But just like he did last time when he saved jobs from Carrier Corporation out in Indiana. But anyways, final story, WNBA phenomenon, Caitlin Clark was selected as Time Magazine's Athlete of the Year. Something that she does deserve. She single-handedly brought the WNBA out of obscurity and probably made it a profit because it's being subsidized by the NBA. But during the interview, she said that, quote, "I want to say I've earned every single thing, but as a white person, there is privilege," unquote. Which is just a real shocker because, me being in radio, I look at people like Brandon Tatum, who's been a guest here, the Hodge twins, and so many other black media personalities, and their reach is much bigger than ours. And I just think she's full of crap. I also think that she's only doing this to placate the critics who say that, oh, the only reason why there's such a draw to the WNBA now because of Caitlin Clark, because she's white. And we talked about this before at the beginning of last season. There's so many black NBA superstars. Nobody gave a rat's ass if they were black or white, as long as they could score points for their team. But, this graveling from Caitlin Clark disappointed me first. And her critics are not going to go out and jump on her bandwagon. That she's not going to sell any more T-shirts for these people. And I think she's just she turned off fans such as us. Like, I'm not a Caitlin Clark fan all the way, but I'm good for her. She's got a talent, and she's killing it in the WNBA now. I don't care. Well, what say you about Caitlin Clark's graveling to her critics?
Oh, I don't know. She's her own person. You know, I'm sure she planned to say something like that. I don't think it was off the cuff. She said what she said. If she believes in what she said, well, more power to her for speaking her mind and saying it out loud. She has been targeted by the WNBA. Some of them bodagas, they really, give it to her on the court. So. It is what it is. I'm not going to dislike her. I'm not going to have an opinion on it, on her, or a different opinion of her. If she was right, white, if she's white privileged, then she's white privileged. You got Brittany Griner over there. She's black privileged. How many, ugly, tall white men, black men pretend to be women playing the NBA? They get the president to get her out of a Russia prison. So I think that's a little bit of black privilege. So, it goes around. It goes around.
Right. Right. Mike, any thoughts on Caitlin Clark and becoming a Caitlin Clark cuckin?
Yeah, look, the girl's been – she's a young girl, first of all. Her whole passion is playing the game, and she's playing the game at the WNBA level, which is a big achievement, But she's under how much pressure? She's been under tremendous amounts of pressure from her teammates, from her other teams, from the media, from everybody for so long. To me, when I look at what she's doing here, and she's trying, I think she's trying to extend an olive branch. She's trying to kind of bring the temperature down a bit and maybe shift the conversation over to something else. This is her, way of maybe just extending an olive branch.
Right. But anyways, for Walter Yerkew and Mike Rakebrandt, this is Peter Scoop standing reminding you, go out, make a difference, and do not comply. See you next week, everybody.
James Edwards for 7-5 Radio. For those who work the streets and the jails, thanks for keeping us safe. So long, everybody.